Welcome to the It's Not About the Fucking Food podcast. I'm Chloe and this is the podcast that's dedicated to helping women love and nourish their bodies with ease and create their vision board life. Hello and welcome to another podcast episode. And today I'm going to be talking about trauma and eating disorders and why there is so much overlap between them. People are quite often surprised by the amount of trauma work that I do within my practice, given that I'm an eating disorder therapist and specialist. And yet so much of my work is about healing trauma. It's not surprising if you know the statistic that 75% of people with eating disorders have a trauma history. That's really high, 75%. And given that I work primarily with those who have struggled chronically with eating disorders or disordered eating, typically for 10 plus years, who haven't found success in their recovery through food, weight, symptom-based traditional approaches, actually what I find is that 90, 95, even maybe sometimes 100% of the clients I'm working with have a trauma history. And there are lots of reasons why we may have experienced trauma in our childhood that led us to eating disorders. But first of all, I want to talk a little bit about trauma because I think we quite often label things as trauma and maybe struggle to label things as trauma that really are trauma. So when I talk about trauma, I quite often talk about trauma with a capital T and trauma with a lowercase t. Now, trauma with a capital T, I'm talking about things that society sort of deems to be traumatic and acceptably traumatic. So this could be an event of sexual abuse, bereavement, physical abuse, war, neglect, a severe car accident. You know, we quite often would turn around and go, yeah, those are probably traumatic. But there are lots of things that actually happen for people, particularly in their childhood, which are traumatic and which the brain packages in the same way. And yet we don't actually appreciate how traumatic they are. And this is when I hear clients say it wasn't that bad or it was only X, Y and Z. It shouldn't affect me this much. And they can be things like being given a caregiver role for a sibling or a cousin at a young age, being given non-age appropriate responsibilities, having non-age appropriate conversations. So parents maybe have talked to you about their sex lives, their financial stresses. That's actually traumatic for children. And whilst there may be one-off conversations that you heard from your parents, actually, if that's happening repeatedly, it's something we quite often call parentification, where children are actually being given a parental role in their households. And that's not age appropriate for children to have done that. Being invalidated, abandoned repeatedly by a caregiver can be traumatic. Being bullied at school can be traumatic if your brain patched it up that way. And that's the key thing about trauma, really. It's about understanding it's not about what we deem to be traumatic. It's about the fact that our brains have kind of packaged it in that trauma packaging. And we don't really get to decide what that is. Society doesn't get to decide what that is. And what our brains will wrap up as being traumatic and not traumatic will really depend on the rest of our lives, whether we have healthy attachment with our parents, whether they're emotionally mature, whether we have a stable home environment, whether we have been built with that self-confidence, for example. It's a much part of a much bigger picture. But when we've experienced trauma, two real things are impacted quite heavily. One, our ability to feel safe, because of course trauma tends to be scary. There tend to be things that are scary, particularly with PTSD style stuff, so singular event trauma. And when we experience things that are scary, we are going to crave that certainty and that safety. And there are very few things that children can control in their lives, and control being a really great way of creating that sense of certainty and safety. But they can control what they put in their mouths. They can really control what they put in their mouths. I say this as a parent of a toddler. So quite easily in childhood, children can start restricting their intake, eating particular foods, only eating things at particular times, as a way to create that sense of certainty, that sense of stability in their own lives, because it's not being created for them in other ways. Okay, when we look at more complex PTSD stuff, so this is the stuff that happens more chronically, so maybe living with domestic abuse, living with emotionally immature parents and the invalidation, parentification, and stuff like that that may be going on. Not only are we talking about maybe lacking that safety and certainty, which we can also rely on eating disorders for control, but we may have a real lack of sense of self, a real lack of self-worth when we've been raised in environments like that or been bullied. And so the eating disorder can quickly step in to become a way not only for providing that sense of safety, that sense of certainty through control, it can also be a way of meeting our needs to be valued, to be loved. In a society that values thinness, that values us looking a certain way, where we often feel like we need to be thin in order to be loved, to be successful, to be attractive, to be wanted, all of these things, sometimes we can have received that message as part of diet culture, generally, maybe from our parents, unconsciously. And we go, do you know what? I can fix this. I can make myself lovable. I can make myself good enough for them by changing the way that I look, by becoming that body ideal that is supposed to be lovable and more successful and more wanted. And so those are two of the big reasons we see people who have experienced a history of trauma end up with eating disorders as being a way of coping. Similarly, obsessive compulsive disorders, anxiety, again, meet that need for control. Eating disorders also numb out emotionality. If our brain is starved, we're not going to feel the pain of the trauma that we've experienced in the same way that people who use drugs, alcohol, sex, as a way to numb out those feelings that they don't wish to feel. And this is when we start to see how actually eating disorders so often cross over in terms of how they present, in terms of what they look like with addiction, because it is a way to numb out massively. It's a way to not feel, it's a way to avoid, even if just through the distraction of having these rules, these things that we need to do in order to be okay. Anxiety is a coping tool. Obsessive compulsive behaviours are a coping tool. Addiction is a coping tool in the same way that eating disorders are a coping tool. And so if you've experienced trauma and you've found that the food, weight focused, traditional approaches haven't worked for you, it's likely because the trauma underneath hasn't been healed for you. If you don't have that sense of safety within, then you're going to need something to do that for you. If you don't feel worthy, good enough, valued, lovable, just because you are who you are, then you're going to need your eating disorder to do that for you. This is when we really get to look at adding before we take away. I talked about this in the 5 Human Needs episodes. We have to add before we take away. Now, trauma obviously is work that is best done with somebody that really understands trauma, with a therapist, with somebody that really innately understands trauma. And if you have an eating disorder, then really both, because we need to work with both safely. And there are, as I said, it's, you know, whilst it's not about the food, food is part of recovery, making sure that you're nourished, making sure that if your brain isn't properly nourished, then actually healing the trauma is going to be nigh on impossible. So working with an eating disorder therapist with a big understanding of trauma, and they have to go hand in hand, surely, with the 75% of people with eating disorder struggling, having had an experience of trauma. There are things that you can do, having listened to this episode, to help yourself, and that might just start to take some of the pressure off the eating disorder having to work so hard. So when we talk about safety and building safety within the body, nervous system regulation is so important. When we've experienced trauma, and especially complex PTSD or that chronic trauma, we've quite often learned to be on edge. It's part of that procedural memory. It's part of our default programming, is to be on edge, waiting for the next shoe to drop, waiting for somebody to flip out on us, waiting for us to make a mistake. So actually learning to regulate that nervous system is something that we really get to do really often when we're healing from trauma. And these can be things, simple things like taking some deep breaths, breathing in through the nose. I like to say in for 4, out for 7. Breathing in and out. The breath is fantastic because it's always with us. We can't not breathe, right? So if we are using the breath intentionally to breathe in for 4, out for 7, that out for 7 is just about slowing down. That exhale tells our bodies are safe, you know, our brains, our bodies, our minds, they're all connected. So if we are breathing more slowly, the body's going to get the body's going to tell the brain essentially we're not in danger here, because we're not breathing in that way that we would do when we're dysregulated. When we're dysregulated, we breathe into our chest, we breathe more shallowly. You can also do the box breath, in for 4, hold for 4, out for 4, hold for 4, and repeat that. I find the force in for 4, out for 7 tends to work better with the people I work with, because that slow exhalation is really what's going to switch in that parasympathetic, that rest and digest nervous system. Things like yoga and meditation are great if you're able to do them and switch into that parasympathetic nervous system. Sometimes meditation, if you're just going to do meditation and lie there and think and worry, then that's not going to give you the same benefits. Make it really easy. Start with the breath. And in terms of what else you can do on the self-esteem, self-confidence, worthiness point of view, listen back to the episode I did on identity, actually building your own identity and really understanding who you are beneath the diagnoses, but also outside of the trauma, outside of the narratives, the roles that you were given is really a big part of healing from trauma, but particularly the complex PTSD side of things as well. So hopefully a lot of things to think about there, and some things you can walk away and do. I'm going to be talking a lot about trauma on this podcast. I said it's such a big part of my practice, and you probably have found threads of this through the episodes I've done already, but definitely something we'll dive more into as I go through and record more podcasts for you. So I hope you found it interesting today. I hope you learned something, but more importantly, I hope you feel a little bit more validated and empowered. If you have had the experience of experiencing trauma in the past and maybe felt like there's something wrong with you because you can't recover, for me, I felt like I couldn't, something must have been something wrong with me, that I was broken because I'd had all this eating disorder treatment that hadn't worked for me. And actually none of it had dealt with the trauma that I had experienced. And once you do that, it's so often like putting that final piece of the jigsaw in place, and we are able to go on and live amazing lives. So hopefully there's some validation and hope in that for you as well, if that's what you need today. And I will leave it there for today, and I will see you in the next episode.